Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John G. Mighty Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Brendan Schaefer from the IntrepidSTL.com. You can also hear him on the Hollywood Casino Press Box with Frank Cusimano from 10 to noon. And also with the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe from 12 to 3. You can follow him on Twitter at BSchaefer12. Brendan Schaefer, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How are we doing tonight?
Good. Congratulations on the website, man. What made you decide to do that?
Well, you know, I just think that, and it's kind of an interesting time to be discussing this because with Fox laying off a lot of their writers this week and kind
of
shifting to a video format, just kind of an interesting time. And I just feel like I want to approach kind of sports media and some different things. I want to be able to write and be able to do video, and you've seen me do the Periscopes on Twitter very often. So I just wanted to try to put something together that could be an outlet like that, and got a few writers on board this week, so it's kind of fun. I appreciate you guys plugging that as you introduced me tonight.
As you heard what they're doing at FoxSports.com, and you know, someone who's just getting into the business, what was your reaction when you saw what they're going to do? Like, I read it; it doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're just basically going to have someone transcribe what Colin Cowherd is saying on the Herd.
Have you gone to their website now?
No, I haven't. Or what Skip Bayless is saying on the Undisputed? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's an odd look.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I understand the idea that you want to do what's profitable and go towards the video format, because a lot of people, when they're taking in their sport nowadays, it's in the social media age, and so they want takes and they want everything condensed into sound bites that are a couple minutes long, and they can move on to the next thing. And I guess the idea is that it's kind of hard to monetize sports writing in this day and age. And so to me, it kind of is unfortunate, because it seems like when we talk about the things we don't like about the industry, it's the kind of shows that are going to be highlighted even more so now, where people are just kind of spitting their opinion on what the opinion of what LeVar Ball said about whomever, and it's just kind of all watered down in my mind. But I guess it's the climate we're operating in, so you just have to try to find a way to adapt.
But okay, I understand what you just said, but then you're missing out on great long-form pieces like the one that Wright Thompson did on ESPN.com a couple of months ago about Pat Riley. And then there's a great one that's out there now today that Tisha Thompson and Andy Lockett wrote about this poor football player from Rochester University and the hell that he went through for like 4 days. I mean, if you're going to go to like an all-video format, like what FoxSports.com is trying to do, you miss out on some great long-form pieces like this that are very informative.
Oh, yeah, it's a shame and a travesty. I agree with that. I just don't know how you get around the idea of needing to make profit off of these kinds of pieces. And you've almost got to have a company that's as big as some of these companies like ESPN or Fox Sports to be able to give a journalist the opportunity to do that kind of research and to produce those kinds of pieces, where the payoff isn't always going to be there. I mean, on some of these long-form pieces, they go viral and people are really into them and everybody reads them. But other times, you know, maybe things don't work out and you spend a couple of months on a project that doesn't come to pass. And it's unfortunate that these big companies, instead of potentially investing in more opportunities like that, are having to make these shifts. I wish that the business people and the minds behind it that kind of decide what advertising revenue can be made could figure out a way to accommodate those kinds of pieces, but it doesn't seem like that's the direction we're trending. Absolutely.
Let's move on to the Diamond. How about that? Let's talk about something. Let's talk about something a little more cheery. And the thing I like the thing I like the most about you, Brendan, is that you seem to think more long term, like what the Cardinals should do. It's not like, okay, great, we can win this mediocre division and then get wiped out in the first round of the playoffs. How about we do something that's going to make this team better, you know, 2, 3, 4 years further down the road? If I were to make you in charge of the St. Louis Cardinals right now, I'm making you the GM, what's the first move you make?
The first move I'd make is to call the Los Angeles Angels about their shortstop, Andrelton Simmons.
Yes!
Who is the defensive wizard, kind of, that I think St. Louis would like to go back to the days of Ozzie Smith. He's one of the best defensive shortstops in Major League Baseball, if not the best. And looking at his numbers this season, he's been pretty average at the plate, which, you know, a so-so bat and the defense that he provides, that translates into several wins above replacement already this season. And I think as much as I love Alemis Diaz and hope that he can go down to Memphis and fix whatever's wrong with his swing, I don't think that long-term he's an answer defensively at shortstop. Maybe you move him around the diamond. Doesn't mean you have to give up on him or trade him. But I think when you talk about the Cardinals, it's been defensive struggles and inconsistency on offense. So the one area that I'd like to shore up defensively is shortstop. I want to see what the Angels would what it would take to get Simmons out of their clutches. He's a guy who's under contract for a few more seasons, relatively reasonable on that contract, about 40-some-odd million dollars from like 2018, 2019, 2020. I think that's the kind of move the Cardinals should make. And then my other move would be to find a big bat that can supply some power for this team. I don't really care where he plays. You've got enough flexibility on your infielders and really with your outfielders that you could find somebody, plug him in, and then fit the pieces around that guy, that three-hole batter, that cleanup batter, whatever you would prefer, that the Cardinals have really lacked, especially with Matt Carpenter now batting higher in the lineup. I think the pitching staff has got enough horses, especially when you consider the guys that could be coming up for the minor leagues. I think they've got enough to be able to hold serve. I just would do those two moves to affect the position players and help the defense and the offense. I think those two moves could make the Cardinals maybe a little bit better for this year, but more so for 18 and 19 as you welcome some of those younger pitchers up and Alex Reyes comes back. I think this organization, while they're in, you know, third place, only a couple games behind the Brewers and Cubs right now, they should be thinking long term because, like you said in your question, this is not a team that you feel confident could make a deep run in the playoffs if they got there.
Now, on those two moves, have the Cardinals reworked their farm system enough where they're confident enough that they have the that they would have the numbers and the prospects to make those two moves and also still have a stable two, you know, build up over the next couple of years?
Well, the beauty of it, I think, is right now you could move some of the guys off the major league roster to make this happen. Kind of like a couple of years ago with the Alan Craig trade for John Lackey that everybody has been kind of bringing up as a potential style of trade that the Cardinals could consider this season. It wouldn't necessarily mean they're punting on the season, but you could see them trade a guy who's been a contributor at the major league level. Maybe it's Randall Grichuk to free up spots for getting an outfielder. Maybe it's a Jed Jerko who you just get overwhelmed by a Red Sox kind of team that wants to give you a prospect for him. I don't necessarily know what's out there for the Cardinals, but I think that with between the combination of what they have at the major league level that they could kind of fluctuate and move around and the pieces they have, especially on the pitching side, and then maybe some younger position players in the minor league depth, I think they've got the horses to make it happen, but it would take some bold moves by John Mozeliak, and at least one major league player that we've seen contribute this season would probably have to go out the door to make it work.
Brendan Schaefer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at bschaefer12. I'm going to run down some names, Schaefer, and you tell me if you think they're still going to be on the team past the trade deadline. How's that sound?
All right, let's go for it.
All right, Lance Lynn, still on the team or off the team?
No, I can't see any justification for leaving him on this team. I think you've got a Luke Weaver who's looking healthy right now, maybe a Jack Flaherty. You could bring up one of those guys and replace Lynn in the rotation. If there's a good prospect to be had for Lance Lynn, I think the Cardinals should make that deal, and I get the feeling they will.
Sing 1-0.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know if O is going to have the trade value necessarily to be moved. I'd like to think he'll be gone, but for some reason, I don't know that the Cardinals are going to get out of him what they'd hope to, and I think he will still be on the team.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Another one that I think should probably be moved, but it's getting towards where it would surprise me, in part because he's kind of struggled as of late and maybe doesn't have that value. But gosh, to a team like the Washington Nationals, who blew another lead today, I would just love to see the Cardinals make that move for maybe a Victor Robles, an outfield prospect in their system. I just don't think that John Mozeliak is going to be willing to part with Rosenthal, who he does have under control through next season.
Randall Grichuk.
This has got to be the toughest one of all of them, right? Because you got the whole Tommy Pham and Grichuk thing. Each day they're kind of one-upping one another. I think he should be moved, and I'll go ahead and go out on the limb. That's where I'll go out and say that they do move Randall Grichuk as part of a larger deal to maybe bring in an outfielder. He could go to a team like the Marlins, and you could potentially send, along with Randall Grichuk, some serious pitching prospects to Miami for a guy like Marcell Ozuna or Christian Yelich. So maybe this is just kind of what I want to happen, but I have faith in Mozeliak to know that this team as is, the status quo is not going to get the job done, and so that's the kind of move that I could see happening. So I'll say Grichuk is gone before the trade deadline.
And Matt Carpenter?
He'll stay as a Cardinal. It's something that I've kind of been behind the scenes mulling over, and I've tweeted out a few different things just wondering. You look at a guy like Carpenter, for a team like the Red Sox, for instance, who's lacking production at third base, but other than that, they're a pretty strong contender in the American League. What would they give for a guy like Matt Carpenter? I think it's worth John Mozeliak's time to check around on him because he's probably the highest-end asset the Cardinals have right now on their Major League roster. But you plug him in an American League team where maybe he can play some first base, third base, or designated hitter, bat him one or number two in that lineup. I think he could help a team a lot, but gosh, I think that's a little bit too bold for what John Mozeliak will end up doing.
And Big Al wants to know if he will be named the manager.
Big Al will not be named the manager. I have that on good authority.
We're sorry, Big Al, but Brendan Schaefer is saying that's a no-go on you taking over the team.
Sorry, Al.
Although there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people in St. Louis who I think would be all for it, though, and I'm kind of leaning towards towards being one of them. Mike Matheny, I've met him. He's an extremely nice guy. I think that he wants to win. I think he's, you know, he's a competitive guy. I just don't think that he's just that good of a manager.
You have met Big Al, though, too, haven't you?
I've met them both, yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
And, yeah, I'll tell you what,
the one have soured for sure for a lot of people, but to see Mike Matheny fired even after this season would really be a shock to me.
I'd be stunned too.
Changes to the coaching, but that's about it.
Changes to the coaching. You think that John Mabry's gone?
Well, that's the thing, because it seems like Mabry and Matheny are kind of a package deal. If any move were to be made, I think that would be the one. But, gosh, I don't know. Like, if the Cardinals say they finish this season with 75 wins, can you really justify making no moves whatsoever? I think the only way you could do that is if you made some significant moves on the player personnel side.
Biche, before we get out of here, for all those Cardinal fans who are a little bit bummed, their team's not doing well. They're not going to make a dent probably in the playoffs this year. They want some positivity, so they're looking towards the future. Give us a couple names. Give us two names on prospects that not a lot of people have heard about, but that you are watching that you think Cardinal fans could get excited about if they want to tune into them.
You think I'm an expert on all these minor leaguers all of a sudden because I got a Twitter account?
Well, you're verified, damn it.
I like to think you do, and I know. And here's the big thing: I know the minor league. I know you like the minor leaguers. I know that's your niche, the younger players. And obviously, at some point, I got to get you fawning over a player that isn't named Colton Wong.
all right, well, that's fair. I don't know that I have very many names that people aren't talking about. But where I'm interested in right now is the outfield depth of the minor leagues, because at the major league level, the Cardinals look like they've got some young players, and obviously Fowler and Piscotty are signed long-term. You've got Grichuk and Pham both producing, but I think just recently Adolis Garcia was promoted to Memphis. I want to see what the Cardinals might have in him, because he's another athletic specimen who's done pretty well at Springfield, and the other one is Oscar Mercado. So some of those outfielders, and he's been the center fielder for Springfield. Like, Cardinal fans saw what they have in Magnir Sierra, and they were really excited by him. Harrison Bader, you hear every so often he'll hit a home run. But it's the other outfielders in the minor leagues that I'm kind of excited about, but I just don't know where on the major league roster there's going to be room for an Adolis Garcia or even an Oscar Mercado. But that's why I think you might see a guy like Randall Grichuk moved, because eventually the Cardinals have got to find out if any of these guys can be something. Otherwise, they're going to move them in a trade. So those are two guys that I like as well.
And I'll tell you what, finding a spot for athletic outfield guys, that's a problem that I could look forward to having.
It wouldn't be a bad thing, but eventually you've got to see some of these guys, right? And the fact that they went out and got Fowler, everybody figured that was a need at the time, and then they gave the money to Piscotty. It's just you're running out of places to put some of these guys. So I hope in September we see both those guys get a chance, but you're going to have 40-man roster concerns and other reasons that it may not happen.
Brendan Schaefer, thank you so much for making time for us, sir. Good luck with the website, and we look forward to hearing you tomorrow on the Hollywood Casino Press Box and then on the Midday Grind.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brendan. That is Brendan Schaefer, like I said, from theintrepidstl.com. Make sure you check out that website and follow him on Twitter at bschaefer12. Yes, Rock.
I like his comment about Mercado mainly because seeing one of the big name Cubans come to fruition that quickly and be a guy that people in the organization and guys covering the organization are already talking about. That's something you love to see because, obviously, Cardinals finally getting into that market. I was pumped about it. You always wonder when are you going to see returns from those kind of investments, and to already be seeing and already have a guy like Schaefer throwing out a name like Makata now, that's big. That's something that if you're a Cardinal fan, that can get you a little bit pumped for some future years.
Ed Roy looks Goiter texting in, how often in history of baseball has firing your hitting coach turned around a team's fortunes? Well, I mean,
got you there.
It can't hurt. I mean, can it? I'm not saying that they're going to fire Mabry, bring in somebody else, and all of a sudden they're going to morph into the 1927 Yankees.
And in fairness to that one, Ed Roy looks Goiter, it's got to be hard to Google when championship teams fired a hitting coach. That's gonna be buried in there.
That's what your job is during the commercial break. Let's take a commercial
Sweet
break.
Jesus.
And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Andrew Claudio from Gotham SN and the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.